PFT Media.
It's that time of year again to look at jack-o'-lanterns, smash some pumpkins, and probably stay inside. Let's look at Halloween throughout the years of Half True History. And welcome to Half True History, everyone, where we take the legends of yesterday and today, pick them together, and make a pretty good story out of it. I am your professor for the night, Dan P. And controlling the airwaves for us, as always, is super producer Chris Crespo.
What is up, everyone?
And joining me, of course, as always, is the headless horseman to my Ichabod Crane.
Oh, yes! I like that one. You should have done intros like you know how the Simpsons do, like super producer creepy Chris
creepy
the treehouse episodes, yeah,
creepy Chris Poltergeist,
yeah.
You guys aren't gonna do any names, just me. I'm only the one doing a name. I thought you guys were gonna do names
too. I'm thinking of something with you took Poltergeist for Pedro, so I was gonna use that for P. Petrified
Pedro.
Putrid Pedro.
Dastardly Dan. Deathly Dan.
Dan Perilla.
Dan Paranormal.
There we go.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one.
So what's your Halloween going to look like?
Guys, it's going to be a weird Halloween.
Yeah.
Are we even having Halloween this year?
People are having it.
Some people are, yeah.
So when you say some people, that means you two are not.
No, I am. I'm going to a Halloween party.
Oh, all right.
See if I can catch that COVID.
Get it out of the way.
I'm hunting it down, guys. I'm trying to get it.
So you're going for Halloween this year? You're a bug chaser? That's your costume?
I'm a bug chaser. Yeah. I'm going to skate my way into the Halloween party in hot pants. Hey, guys. I'm a bug chaser. That's fucking hilarious, dude. Oh, my God. That is, man, I got till Saturday to find some hot pants and go,
yes,
and go to Cimarron Skateway and just steal some size 13s. What are you dressed as? And now I'm a bug chaser. Can you tell my hot pants and my mid-shirt, my mid-drift shirt?
What's funny is that... For years, you've had that scrubs and mask costume that you've done.
Yes. This year is so appropriate, but I still have the Ebola unit written into it. I can scratch it off.
Right.
And just put, you know.
I think it would be funnier if it was scratched off, obviously, and then Corona unit.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird because we don't know anybody that died from Ebola. I'll probably go to a party and there was an uncle that died of COVID.
Yeah. It's too much right now. Well, you just gotta, you know, hope that you can ward the bad spirits away.
Yeah. You know, what do you want me to do? I didn't kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I try my best. I was in the front lines.
Not everybody wins.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you gotta take a note. No, I'm going as Jason because I wanted to do the least effort possible.
Right.
But then I realized I don't have any more contacts. So Jason's going to rock the glasses like Garth from from Wayne's World kind of deal.
Yeah.
So Spirit Halloween's still kicking, though.
You know, people are still still determined. There, it's funny how Halloween, there is more of, we have more loyalty to Halloween than 4th of July in this country.
But which one's more fun? Let's think about this.
Honestly, yeah, of course. But it's, yeah.
Halloween, you got so many options and it's so much fun because there's a variety of things you can do.
Yeah.
And there's more parties leading up to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
July 4th is July 4th or a July 4th weekend.
Right.
Red, white, and blue. A barbecue, some hamburgers, and hot dogs.
Exactly.
Halloween, you could be Jason. Mm-hmm. You could be the Tooth Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a serial killer. In those 3 days on the weekend, get different drinks, you know.
Yep.
It's more fun. It's more, yeah, hands down, Halloween's more fun.
And the good news is you can actually go a little bit extra on the candy, guys, because after all this trick-or-treat spreading, you'll have to buy less food by Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So
stock up. You know what? Stock up on those candies, especially on those nuts, and appreciate that family that gives you granola. You're probably going to miss that family because come Tuesday after Halloween, boy, oh, boy. That's gonna be spooky.
Oh yeah. So the you know what's interesting is Halloween's evolution over the years, and you remember I think it was probably and it's still you still have it today a little bit of a push, but that '90s early 2000s there was a really like even the '80s I think a push because it was Satan's holiday. People believed it belonged mm-hmm. to devil worshippers.
Devil's Night.
Right, exactly. It's the Devil's Night, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you actually look at the history, it's pretty much the exact opposite.
And the costumes sucked back in the 80s, right, Crespo? Remember those?
That was what he just had on pajamas with like a plastic thing over
that
your face.
Plastic, that heavy plastic mask that would cut your cheeks.
It would. Yep. It would cut you so hard.
I remember cutting my tongue on my Alf mask.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You had an Alf one?
I was Alf 1 year.
I had Batman, Superman. Never had that clown one. I think clown one. I think that's where my whole thing of fear, not fear of clown. I just dislike clowns a lot.
Because they just looked so cheesy and horrible from the costumes. That kind of helped them.
It's just creepy as hell, dude. It's just... I think a clown, and I always think John Wayne Gacy for some odd reason.
No, I mean, you know, that kind of adds up there.
He's a famous clown. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
It's him. It's Bozo. Who else is there? I mean, that's it.
So, Halloween is yet again one of these holidays that was molded by the Catholic Church to become something different, just like Christmas and Easter.
Goddamn Catholics.
Like they had to co-opt something to get their foot in the door, right?
Right, exactly. The only issue was on this one, they dropped the ball a little bit.
How did they do that?
Well, I mean, it just didn't stick as well as the other two did. And then it became known as this Devil's Day, which, again, is really funny since this was partially created by the Catholic Church itself.
The entire day?
Oh, it was this. Well, this is the eve before the days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they wanted to, they were basically putting all three together, all three like pagan holidays together and making it a big Catholic weekend. That was the plan.
Oh, all right.
So now the original Halloween actually comes from our good Irish friends. Many, many years ago, we're talking before Rome. And back then, it had a different name. And unfortunately, the name itself, even still today, for those who know what it is, a lot of, I would say like half the people can't even say the name right because of the original Manx Gaelic language that it was in.
Okay. So it's not Hallow's Eve or anything like that.
No, it doesn't become that for a while. In the beginning, it's Samhain.
That's it?
Samhain is what it's called.
S-A-W-I-N?
No. It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. So you'll hear a lot of people try and say Samhain.
But it's Samhain.
It's Samhain. Yeah.
The Irish were so lit that that W just went upside down.
I mean, yeah, it's from the ancient Gaelic. So you're trying to take an ancient Manx Gaelic language and turn it into English. And you got to realize, yeah, they didn't pronounce the same symbols the way we did. Yeah, originally it's Samhain. And it was at this time where they believe that the veil between this world and the other world was the thinnest. And that was because the cool air started to come in. So it wasn't quite winter yet, but it wasn't, but the heat from the summer was definitely gone. Mm. And so this was kind of this doorway in between summer and winter in which the universes kind of brushed together, the world of the dead and the fantastical and the world of the living. And so we're looking at, I would say, something about 400 BC, 300 BCE we're looking at.
Wow, that was amazing.
This is before Christ.
This is way, way, way before Christ. It's before Rome even gets there.
Jeez.
Right. So, yeah, the idea of this has been a long, long time. And what it was that night, which today we kind of figure is probably October 31st, but we have no idea really what calendar they were working off on. And so the idea here was, it was basically like the entire world was your Ouija board, where you could use it to your advantage, but you also had to make sure the bad stuff stayed away. So this was your chance to use both. And how you would, so this was the time where all of the priests, men of magic or women of magic, would try and tell the future and predict things using the other world to enchant their items.
So it's like the world's fair of gypsies.
It would definitely be like
they all got together. It's like it's the one day the Casadega village just comes to life. And the tarot readers and the science and
exactly, you know,
the dead talkers all come together.
Right.
A big ass open mic.
And there's it's a big old bonfire, as you would expect with the Irish.
Oh, tell me they sacrifice something.
Sacrificing of animals is a popular thing there.
Okay.
Burning crops as well. Leftover crops, you burn those.
Potatoes, I bet.
No, potatoes aren't around yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the potatoes are American.
Where did the Irish potato famine come from?
Well, the potatoes are brought over by the Spanish, and then they're so easy to plant that the super poor and always starving Irish basically made that their basic food. And so they depended on it. And then in the 1800s, when the disease hit it, they all perished, or mostly perished.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But yeah, the potato comes from the Incas and the Aztecs.
What disease hit the potato?
I forget, actually. I'd have to look that up. I kind of couldn't tell you the exact plant disease, but it hit all the potatoes.
Yeah, in school, they just called it a blight.
Yeah, some blight.
Yeah,
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, like we went through that with the orange groves here in Florida.
Yes.
They got hit with the green moss or whatever the hell they call it.
I remember that time. Yeah, that was definitely a scary period for a lot of the people in the central area.
Yeah, for the growers and stuff. Yeah, they're freaking out. My tree died. I had an orange tree and it died from that.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
So it's the so they would burn things like wheat and barley, sacrifice animals, and this was to appease the Celtic gods. And so now through the veil, not only could you speak to your ancestors, or you could, you know, get to see the souls of the dead and worship them and whatnot, but also when the veil was thin, the Celtic, you know, believed in fantastical evil forces that could come through. And the most popular ones, of course, were fairies. They were, so they're, you know, we're not talking nice Peter Pan fairies. Fairies in the Celtic lore are nasty mischief makers for the most part.
The kind that are spelled with the A before the E.
Right. And the fairies can take over many forms. Like, yeah, they, and it's not just little people with wings. One of the bigger threats would be this yellow-eyed horse called the Pooka.
Oh, scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you never knew when those things might go through the veil as you were using the veil. So what they had to do is they created a bunch of wardings and items to either keep the ghosts away, keep the evil spirits away, or appease them long enough until the night was over. And so one of the things that they did in order to, for one of the protections was to carve demonic faces into turnips, out of turnips.
I forgot this fact, but I used to know this from hosting trivia that, that so many people, this is a great like third round question. People don't know that jack-o'-lanterns started with turnips. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Pumpkins again are an American fruit. They haven't been invented. They haven't been discovered yet. So turnips were the, can you imagine just carving a face in a turnip though?
It's so small.
Right.
I mean, but I mean the details into it, you know what I mean? Like you carve it into,
Yeah.
True. Yeah. True. Like,
that's crazy. And then you got to put like a really tiny candle in there.
Yeah.
So that was one of the ways that you could ward them off. A lot of the, now the costumes themselves came from a lot of the animal furs and other things that the old priests and such would wear in order to become a little bit more with the universes. So that's where we get the idea of dressing up for Samhain.
So a lot of bears, a lot of wolves.
Yeah, a giant. Yeah, I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, like a lot of animals type of deal and stuff like right. that. Mm-hmm. Where do you think I was going with this?
I bears? Thought you were going to say the first furry convention.
Oh, no, but good line.
Yeah.
Was it? Was there a lot of sex?
You know what? I don't have any readings of that. I mean, they were human like everyone else, so probably. But it wasn't exactly the thing. It was more of a solemn holiday, actually, more than the others. It was more solemn and serious than celebratory.
Because it was about the survival of the community and like ensuring a good winter and harvest right. and all that stuff, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And the way to ward the evil fairy spirits was to keep them well fed because the fairies had a sweet tooth. And so you would leave out, right, honeyed and sugary things in order to keep them fed so they would stay away from your house and not play tricks on you. So after that, so that goes on for a while. Then the Romans come. Romans conquer Great Britain and Ireland. And they see this festival, and they're not against it. They just kind of want to include their own holiday in it as well.
Okay.
And so the Romans, because they're all about whatever, yeah. And they add in a few of their lesser gods into this Samhain holiday, including the festival to celebrate the goddess of the harvest, Pomona.
Okay.
And Pomona, her symbol was an apple, if you can guess the thing that comes out of this one.
The candy apple?
And also what game?
Bobbing for apples.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, but that is a dumb game that we'd have to play as kids around Halloween.
Mm-hmm. It was the bobbing for apples.
I didn't know that was a Halloween game.
Oh, yeah.
You try to drown a child so he can get his little mouth around an apple. I like it. Yeah. These moments are so sadistic. They're fantastic.
Rome's gone now. Catholic Church tries to take over. And they see this holiday and they're like, whoa. This one's going to be tough, guys. Pope and the Cardinals sit down and they say, all right, well, we already did Birth of Jesus. Got that covered with the Yule. We already got the Easter. We got the rising of Jesus. We made Easter. They're like, what the hell do we do with this thing?
Condemn it.
And the Cardinals say that it's their holiday about the supernatural, about the dead. And so they try to make it a holiday to honor all the great martyrs who died for Christianity.
But that's not Halloween. That's 2 days after Halloween.
That's, right, because you're thinking of All Saints.
Yeah, Dia de los Muertos, November 2nd.
Right, that's all set. Yeah, but there's also All Souls Day.
Oh, okay.
So All Saints Day is November 2nd. All Souls Day was supposed to be November 1st. And so they changed it, of course. And souls in the Old English was All Hallows.
Remember me. Though I have to say goodbye.
I love that movie because of the subtle message that there's no judgment in heaven.
Everybody goes to heaven.
Yeah. Like, this guy was a murderer, and even the underworld didn't know it.
But he'll suffer both two deaths, though. The one on earth and the one people forget about him.
Right. That's true. But it's just, I like
that. Is it heaven, or they're just in limbo?
Maybe it's limbo. Maybe that's right. Once you're forgotten, maybe you go somewhere. Who knows? They leave it open to interpretation.
Yeah.
So we get All Halloween from All Hallows Eve, All Hallows Day, or All Souls Day, and to worship all the martyrs who died for Christianity and all the great saints. And that's where that comes from. And the Catholic Church really tried to make that a very sacred day. So it still kept it solemn like the others. But it had become jubilant because of the Romans. So it started out very solemn, very serious. You know, of course, there was drinking of cider and some, you know, songs and such. But you're not looking at like an all-out St. Patrick's Day, you know, muck-up or anything like that. Originally, and then the Romans come and they start making little parties of it because they're worshiping Pomona and such. The Catholics, they try to tone it down again. And unfortunately, it just, it works for a little while. It becomes very hollow, a very hallowed Halloween for the longest time. In fact, Christmas has a bigger history of being a booze up in Europe longer than Halloween. Because Christmas really got into the Saturnalia. That was a time where the servants and the lords would switch places and there would be all kinds of drinking and, you know, evil Catholics and things.
Way more jubilant than celebrating, remembering martyrs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the longest time, All Hallows Eve was actually the more serious holiday. Then it comes to America. And a lot of Irish immigrants we get in America, the first few waves, you know, and they start to bring in the holiday as well. Now, by this time, Halloween had become very watered down with other autumn and winter festivals. So people were still doing like the carved turnips and the candies and the parties and stuff, but it really was just kind of an autumn party. Nobody really understood the word Halloween or the meaning of Halloween really by the 1600s. But the Virginians found, as they were setting up their colony, something a lot bigger and easier to carve than the turnip.
Oh.
Yeah.
A pumpkin.
Yep, and they said, why don't we carve up them big old sumbitches? And then we can put lanterns in them. And so we get the jack-o'-lantern.
Because the turnips, they didn't put actual, like, candles in them or whatever, probably, right? They were just carving faces into them and setting them out.
Yeah, I mean, most likely. I mean, if you were to start, you could probably start maybe a tiny fire in there.
A tiny one, yeah. Turnips are small, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, now you could actually put a lantern in this pumpkin, which is why we get the jack-o'-lantern. Mm-hmm. You know, or it looks like a lantern, too. So there's where we're starting to get that. And it becomes just, so Halloween becomes not really Halloween. There's that word kind of disappears for a while. Throughout the 1700s, it's just a fall festival with the pumpkins, with the bobbing for apples. It's really an adults-only holiday. Then the next wave of Irish come by the 1840s, 1850s, because of the potato famine, and then another wave in the 1880s and 90s. And they
this is the party boat that arrives.
Right, this is the party boat. This is the one who really brings in the idea of Halloween, and we start to get an established American Halloween on October 31st. And from there, that's where we get the big parties, the cider becomes this big booze up. But for the most part, and ghost stories become popular. This is the romantic period in the 19th century. So you got a lot of those penny dreadfuls all around.
Your Edgar Allan Poe's and whatnot.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe's, Ivy Washington's, it's lots of good stories. And then Stoker has just come out with Dracula by 1890s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who's the first guy to dress up as Dracula? Tell me that's in the history books.
I wish I knew. I bet you it is. I just have to do research on that one.
Sean O'Shaughnessy from Limerick.
It becomes a night of mischief, you know, as the holiday gets more popular. It's costume parties, mask parties. So they're more masquerade parties at this point still. We're not looking into Halloween costumes just yet. We're looking at more masquerades, et cetera, and these falls and this kind of supernatural feel, celebration. And it's still adults only for the most part. This is just an adult holiday throughout until we get to the 1920s and 1930s. And Halloween then becomes a problem because all these adults are now going out for Halloween parties and all these kids are staying home. And so all these bored kids start pulling pranks on Halloween night since they're bored out of their skulls and they can't join in the fun. And we're talking pranks. Like you should, like some of the pictures that you see from the Halloween, like they would like break into stores. They broke into a furniture store, took all the furniture and put it on the roof. Things like that, just extremely elaborate, just a super pain in the ass. This is where you get your toilet paper, your egging of the houses, all that stuff.
The old the shaving cream under the car door handle.
Right. By the time the 1950s comes around, we've got this baby boom. And now we've basically tripled the amount of kids that are going to stay home on All Hallows Eve.
Some of them don't have dads because they lost them in the war.
Right. And so they're definitely those troubled kids. And so the idea, it starts in Minnesota, actually. And the idea is to start having a more civic and kid-friendly holiday so that we know where they all are. We keep them and the neighborhood can watch them all because they're all out in the neighborhood in the streets. So really it was and we start having parties in community centers, town halls and things like that, big parades even as well. So it really became one big babysitter night, which is kind of how it was. I mean, your parents were more than happy to let you just run off with your friends out into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll be home at a certain time. And again, you know, back then it was easy enough. Every adult was out there also giving out candy. So you had a million eyes on you. So it was the perfect way to spin it.
Yeah. Go out there, have fun, get some candy, come back.
Right.
But now parents they got to get the babysitters to watch the kids so they can go to their adults only Halloween parties.
It's switching back nowadays. Yeah.
It's come back around.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. There's going to be even more this year.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But yeah, it's the. It's the spirit of the things. It's funny too, because it was an adult holiday, but then the boomers ruined it when they were kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's becoming back to parties, so the boomers are ruining it again for the next generation of kids. So, as always, the boomers ruin something in America.
Amazing. The same generation.
Gotta love them.
Oh, yeah, they're our parents.
Yeah. Exactly. Gotta. But, yeah, there it is. And, you know, so the satanic thing is always so weird, because people who really don't follow up on this history at all, this is a Catholic sanctioned. This is a, I think, between the Celts, the Romans, the Catholics, the Aztec tribes, I think about seven religions or so have written off on this holiday or signed off on this holiday already. Yeah.
It's the only one that's united a lot of different beliefs.
Exactly. So it's that supernatural. Mysticism seems to do that. When you, just to go a little bit off topic, when the Muslims were invading India and were trying to get the Hindus to convert, the Hindus weren't really listening to the traditional Islam. But then there was this more mystic version called Sufism.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sufis, their mysticism blended really well with the Hindu mysticism. And then you started seeing the conversions.
Yeah, and Sufism's still around, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the Whirling Dervishes.
The Whirling Dervishes. That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing how mysticism, like Pedro said, mysticism unites us more than anything, really.
Because it's not proven, so it's like who believes it more. It's right. Just like religion. It's people that, you know.
It's yeah, man. It's, I mean, and who doesn't want to be, yo, dude, you want to eat candy and talk about ghosts? Like, who's going to say no to that? Yeah.
Who was the first person to put a razor blade in an apple? Do we have that?
John Wayne Gacy. And I think that was actually one of the bigger scares. It was around that time, around the 80s, is when that started to happen, and that's when that's when there started to be a little bit of a more parental check on the Halloween.
Yeah, but those are people that were doing coke and crack and just. Mm-hmm. You know, you forgot that you left the blade you cut coke on an apple,
right?
And it's, you didn't have any candy, so you just gave them the apple, and then you realize, where's my cocaine cutter? Oh shit, I left it in the apple. Where's the apple? I give it to a kid dressed like a clown.
Also, what monsters out there are giving out apples on Halloween?
Yeah,
and I mean. Guys, are you seriously accusing the golden American Reagan years as being a time of irresponsibility and darkness, actually? No, I refuse.
Are you giving out candy this year, Dan?
No, we're not home. We're going to my parents for a little Halloween party.
Okay.
I didn't even put up decorations because I didn't want to have anybody get their hopes up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I know you're one of the houses that give the big candy.
Yeah, we do the full-size bars. And hopefully next year we'll do it again. But it was either I stay home and do that candy thing safely and my kids are totally bored, or we go down to the folks and have a little Halloween party. So I think the moon is now setting on this wondrous holiday talk.
Yeah, I gotta do my. Let me see how this looks with glasses. Look at that!
Wow,
you're nerd, Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, cousin. Jason's accountant cousin.
I'm Jared Voorhees, attorney at law.
Jared Voorhees, CPA.
Yeah, it's never too late to do your taxes.
You know you can be writing off all these machetes on your taxes, Jason.
It's an expense.
Well, everyone, please be safe out there. If you are going out and parties, as always, not only are there bad spirits nowadays, but some kind of virus as well, from what I hear. So, you know, be wary. Make sure all your talismans and tomes and spells are charged up for that night.
Mm-hmm.
And So thank you very much. Please continue, or if you're not going out on Halloween, you should stay and listen to all the shows on PFT Media. We could definitely fill up your night with so much great content. That's correct, Chris.
Yes, that's right. PFTmedia.com is the home for all your brand new PFT shows and also now a couple years worth of archive stuff.
Like, comment, subscribe, then unsubscribe, and then subscribe again.
Yes. And then review, and then 5 stars, and then review again.
Yep. 5-star it. Yelp review it. Google review it. All the reviewers.
Google map Remember, it.
Yeah.
The more revenue we get, the closer we are to a Half True History Jubilee of 1500
parties. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm going to, you know what? Next episode, I'm going to start doing that little breaking chart where we start.
Yeah.
There we go. And then at the very top, it says the contest.
The contest.
The contest.
Where are we at today?
We're this close from the contest. We just need $10,000.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for listening to Half True History. And we'll see you on the next page.
Peace.
Peace! I was at a nice reception, but the werewolf part was gone. So we pulled ourselves together and we're wolfmen again. Just in time for Monster Fight to begin. A PFT Media production.